Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast, a show hosted by LaZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wamit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
Hello, and you've probably missed us, maybe? I don't know. It's the ASAP Weekly crew. How's it going, everyone? We're here for the Rewind of 2022 show slash bots, apparently, slash what was that last one? Trades that didn't happen. That's a rundown of the show before the show? Oh, we've never done that in our lives. I'm joined today by Cursor. How's it going, Cursor?
Hello. I'm doing well.
Yes. Cursor is here. Messi. How's it going, Messi?
World Cup.
And then I'm also joined by last and certainly the most least, Wabs. How's it going, Wabs?
I like that you had to find my name there because you were like, wait, hold up. I got it. It's somewhere back here.
No. So the joke that I did there, I think Messi caught it. I don't know if, I didn't know if I heard Cursor or if I heard Messi. I heard one of you. But I was going to say not least, but I said the least. You know.
So there you go. I just fully agree with the least part. That's okay. Just true. Wow.
I like how Wabs is so self. I know. Wabs knew I was going to make fun, so Wabs is ready. All right. How's it going, Wabs?
It's going pretty good. You know, I always send it back to you.
Oh, yeah. I get hit, like, sometimes, you know, it's like 1 in the morning, and Wabs is like, you know, just sends me a message, you know, just to keep me humble, just like, you'll never accomplish things in life. All right? And then it just deletes it after, right? Gaslights me out about it as well.
I never send those. I definitely never send those. That's fake.
Yeah, fake news.
Fake news.
Ayo. Speaking of things that aren't fake, I guess. The one thing that I want to start off with the show is like some of the moments that I remember from the year. Because I felt like in esports and in the game in general, there's been some fun times. There's been some interesting things that we have looked at. I have. To me, what I want to really talk about here is like kind of the stories like that I remember from the year, because we'll talk about like specific players and teams more. But like a big story for me is Team BDS this year, because I think Team BDS was the sole focus of Rocket League for such a long time, and this year they kind of popped up in and out. You know, it's like they're a main character in a show, and then they've become the cameo character. You know, that's how I feel about Team BDS.
They were too strong, so they got nerfed to the point of being a cameo character.
There it is. That's the actual facts.
I think they've had a wild story. You know what I mean? Like, I think we all got tired of cheering for them, but then when they, you know, I mean, I guess now is probably the one time where it really feels like, you know, the Team BDS era is kind of behind us, right? Like right now. But if we look at the whole of last year, it was like, they're still sticking around, right? So that's my kind of, I guess, one of the big stories I remember from this year. And then they have the big trade as well, right? Was this? I'm trying to remember if the trade was this year or last year now. That's what I'm afraid of. Was it a January trade for Team BDS?
It was February.
It was February.
Wait, no. Am I looking at the wrong one?
Possibly. Are you referring to the Mark by 8 for
yes,
April?
Yes. April. The original trade, yep.
Yeah, it was a bit later. I don't think... I don't know if Messi wants to jump in with this one, being our stats guy and now going back for stats.
Mark Bae left on
April 26th.
Yeah, April.
He left during the beginning of the spring split. Well, no, he was benched for the spring split.
Right.
And then Team BDS won the world championship. So
I mean, France could win the Rocket League World Championship, but they couldn't win the World Cup. So.
Ooh. You've been waiting for that, Messi, haven't you? Messi really just wants to talk about Argentina, is what I'm feeling. Messi, maybe we'll start with you here. What's a memorable kind of Rocket League story from 2022 for you? I know.
Squishy not showing up to greet the fans at the Winter Major because he was depressed.
Oh my god, right? How long did we stand in that line?
Like an hour.
Frank got us a spot. Shout outs to Frank. Dude just never showed up.
Homie said, he's my favorite player, mind you, but I got a rag on him for this. He's like, we lost in game 5 to Queso.
Which now, in hindsight, is not a bad thing. Queso was a good team before they split.
Queso was probably also a good story for 2022. That whole run was a lot of fun, mm-hmm. right? But did you have a cheese hat, Messi? Did you have a cheese hat?
No. Missed hell up. No. I want NRG to win that. I don't think Cursor was there when that match happened because we were at the V1 watch party, but everybody around me just saw how depressed I was after that match ended. I'm just like, damn.
No, I was still on the plane.
Yeah, you were on your way there.
I was trying to get there.
Were you more mad that you didn't get the time to meet Squishy or that they lost? That's the question.
I mean, I had the opportunity to meet him at the airport. Okay. But true. I just don't like to bother pro players at the airport.
That's fair. No, not my thing. I saw Scrub Killer once, and I kept walking. I'm like, psh.
Who's that guy?
As a dream hack, I saw him. I'm like, is that like a, you know, is this someone working at like at the Monster Energy? Like, you know, this is staff, part time staff. Anyway, I'll digress. I mean,
looking at those results, he might as well go get a part-time job. Homie got no earnings right now.
Was Scrub Killer a story 2022? I guess not. Probably more 2021.
Nah, he was more something to forget about 2020.
Like, he's the regrets you made along the way. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Cursor, you got anything? Any big things that stood out to you from 2022?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. Okay. Definitely. 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 Okay. I'm not stalling anymore. So, so we had sort of the revitalization and like the sort of underdog story of can Realize get a team and can Realize make it to top 8 in a LAN event? Cause you know, he's going to come out the region. Mm-hmm. And then there was probably the biggest one for me was the Furia storyline. That was beautiful, man. That was so beautiful. It was so wholesome and so heartwarming to see these players who kept getting doubted by the community and the scene as a whole. You know, people saying stupid things like lesser region, minor region. Like, they came out and they performed and they ran it. And in my opinion, still to this day, we'll see with this current season what happens. But it's that replaced the. Like the, you know, this is Rocket League Justin moment for me was seeing Furia play Moist in quarters. Yep. Like, and I got to see it live second row. Like, this is the most hype Rocket League match in esports history. Like, that was the story for 2022 for me was seeing the come up of Furia and really sort of showing up for their region and kind of debunking all this, you know, super region this, super region that, because now we got people swapping regions and everything. It's mm-hmm. like it's not really a region-based thing anymore. It's a talent thing. Yeah. So that was my big one. I really enjoyed following that storyline.
No, that's good. I like that a lot. Yeah. I like that a lot. Wabs, you got anything to either add on or maybe your own kind of thing that you remembered from this year?
A couple of them have actually been said, and I've been running them through them. I came up with a bunch in case I went last. I'm very happy I did. I think the biggest one, though, that hasn't been said that I really want to go for is the region swapping, like you mentioned, Cursor. And specifically with Genji.
Oh, right.
Just like the absolute dominance, the questions that were had for so long. And this is like very recent, of a, like a very recent storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Just Genji existing, the region swapping that has happened, the availability of talent now, where instead of just being like, oh, this is an NA crowd, this is an EU crowd, this is an SA crowd, whatever, we can actually start thinking like, what worldwide is a team that we want to see? Just like looking at all of the players that exist right now, who do we want to see, and what do we think would be like an incredible team to just exist, and that has the chance to dominate or anything else like that. And the other one that I want to say, I'm not going to call it energy for you guys, I'll do that, is FaZe. I think
interesting
FaZe. Okay. This is, and the reason I bring it up is just like, it's such a subtle one, because FaZe has kind of just, they existed for a long time as like the best of the middle or the worst of the best. And that was pretty much it. But the slow progression forward and kind of becoming the best of the region, I think if you're looking at it over the entire duration of the year, FaZe might have one of the most consistent and best best storylines, just by watching them improve and watching their placements alone. You can see it throughout some of the swaps that I think happened this year. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong about that? Yeah. Even through that, so I think that FaZe is a little extra that we wouldn't really think about, because they haven't dominated in the one position, but they have dominated for such a long and kind of extreme, or in such an extreme way.
I like that a lot. I think this is actually a nice way to maybe get into our team of the year, like for us all individually, like which team. And you can, it's your own measure. So like when we go through this, it's your own measure of what you think is, you know, justifying being the best team from the year. You know, you can look at more recent form, you can look at, you know, who won the world championship. That could be a decision you make, should you decide. Or whatever else, like for you kind of find important. For me, what I'll say, it's tough because I really feel Gen G right now is like the up and like on the up and up, right? But the results were like significantly later in the year, so it's making me kind of hard to choose them. Team BDS for me is difficult to choose, because even though they won the world championships, they're kind of all over the place for the rest of it, right? And certainly afterward, right? So I'm going to give it actually the team to me that kind of like has really stuck out is Moist Esports. Like to me, it seemed like a team that this year they were created this year, but or last year, but two, it very much felt like, you know, that Team Queso roster, right, with the results, right, and then you have Astral joining in September as well. It just felt like this was a team that throughout the year rose to new heights and kind of kept at it. So to me, they're the team I'll kind of remember this year as, like, you know. It kind of reminds me a little bit how, I don't know if we remember, there was like a year where Pittsburgh Knights kind of came into prominence. They didn't necessarily win, but they were like the team that just throughout the whole year was showing more and more consistent results and an upward trend. And to me, that was Moist Esports this year. So that was the criteria I use. You don't have to use that criteria. You can just be like, Team BDS, because they won the World Championship. If you want, you can do that. maybe Wabs can jump in first this time, since he went last time.
I'm trying to decide whether I want to fan or not, and it's, I think I'm going to. Yep.
It's calm.
It wasn't the finish that we'd all hoped for.
But the journey.
But the journey was incredible, and I was there for that. And you know, I've always been a large fan of like Itachi person, like just Itachi, just straight up. And I liked it. I liked watching them. I liked seeing it. I like going from always losing my points in bets to almost always winning my points in bets. It was
sorry,
fun.
Fake imaginary Twitch bets. I'm hoping.
Yeah, Twitch bets. Yeah. Like that's why I say points and not money. It's points. It's the Twitch points.
I mean, I know we were approached once by a sport betting book, but I didn't know Wabs was taking money on the side. That's all I was saying.
No, but yeah, Carmen Corp. I have to go with them. It was just such a come up in. It's the I guess. because I was gonna talk about them with FaZe and like, nah, I can't do it. I can't talk about FaZe after or Carmen Corp after talking about FaZe because FaZe has been here for the whole year. They've really just done so much.
You've convinced yourself
so consistent. But also the other reason I did say FaZe earlier was specifically to say Carmen Corp now. Saying Carmen Corp.
Wow. Okay, that was a roller coaster. To your point, Wabs, do you feel like FaZe? Has FaZe kind of become like the former NRG, like the team that just like keeps winning second place or like is just on the cusp but never quite wins the tournaments? Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that's necessarily fair.
I know that former NRG was always a really good.
FaZe won one, which I think is that better than NRG's or no? Or was it
G2? In the drought days? I guess if do you think an NA win counts? That's your barometer, right? So I guess
no. I'm talking about FaZe in the NA regionals.
Oh, then right? They're probably quite similar. I think it's the point. It's like it doesn't seem like there's ever a point where they're just, you know. I mean, I guess because I put way too much stock on the World Championship that only happens once a year now, right? So. That's probably what it has to do with. Messi. Or Cursor, either of you have a team that you're like raring to mention?
Yo, definitely NRG, the best team. Just kidding. I wish, but my team of the year is also gonna be Moist. They just took it, man.
Yeah,
going from because at the start of last season, 21-22, they didn't even qualify for the first major. That happened. They weren't there. Nope. They were chilling in ninth place. They were cozy down there, but. In the very, very next split, they just start dominating. They finally built up the chemistry. They take it against... Was it G2? Yeah, G2. No, they lost to G2, but G2. They made it really far. And then next major, they win. And then at Worlds, they go out in the best match of all time in Rocket League history.
Hands down.
So if you're gonna go out, that's a way to go out.
But, it is.
But yeah, they've been doing great, and now even with like their new roster, they still made it to the second at the major. Mm-hmm. Their consistency is incredible with so many different variations of rosters.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't help but smile when you see that. It's like, wow, they're crazy with it. But man, they take the cake, bro.
There you go.
And just like Most Critical, let's go, baby.
That's great. Cursor, are you? Yeah, are you going with one that we've chosen, or do you got another name to throw in the pot here?
Though I do agree that Moist was probably the most, like, kind of the talk of the town for the community this year for all of previously mentioned reasons. Very, very credible for sure. I think. Probably the one that stuck out to me was actually Rocket League's acquisition of like Optic Gaming, like them finally coming into the scene and fielding a team and getting involved. And for a lot of people who, you know, aren't as old as some of us, myself mostly, but that's one of the oldest esports rivalries in esports. Like the Optic versus FaZe has been a thing in the Call of Duty scene for nearly a decade, and it's really, really cool to see that like that sort of healthy, sort of like non-toxic like competitive banter, like atmosphere is still very much alive here in Rocket League years later. It's kind of transcended to other sports. I'm really hoping to see other big teams come back, but the Optic one was a big one for me, especially having been a long time Optic fan. They didn't do great, and some of their rosters so far have been, they've shown some potential. Others have been a bit questionable, but overall, I think it's a really positive thing and puts a really big smile on my face just to see Optic logos in game now, like decals in game, and actually seeing them compete in the circuit. Like that's my big one for 2022.
I like that.
Okay, I like that a lot. Yeah, and I think with that, I'm gonna stick with Cursor here. Do you have a player that stood out for you this year?
Ooh, too many to pick as like a one, but I'll pick a one off.
Literally choose whomever you feel wants the spotlight.
Say there's probably like 10 or 20 for this year alone. There's some absolutely goated talent coming up through the circuit right now. A lot of people, a lot of old guard members too, who clearly are putting in the work and still being relevant in the scene are turning heads again as well. It's really good to see. Very, very healthy competitive environment right now where we've never seen such a high level of Rocket League played before. For me though, it's kind of a toss up between two people. So I'll make one and then an honorable mention, I guess, would be in no particular order, Jan and apparently Jack. Jan's kind of been like that underdog. Like he came up, not a whole lot of people knew about him. And he's just this absolute mechanical mastermind that sees the game on a completely different level from most players. It's an absolute beauty to watch him play in person. The guy really just knows what he's doing. It's like, I would strive to get to that level someday for sure. But I guess my big one is Appjack. Ever since watching him come in and talking about it with the two of you, you and Webs, about a year ago, I think now, maybe longer actually, before I was even on the show, and we talked about the Fusion tournament and how he came in with, what was it, Stormtroopers? Mm-hmm. And kind of like him sort of taking the scene by storm at that point, everyone being like, who's this Appjack kid? Like, he's kind of good, and he's only gotten better as time's gone on. And now he's looking at one of the most dominant members on his squad being Gen G going into the season.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so. They put in the work, you know, again, backed up by and two other players who just doubted by the community, like, oh, they'll never do anything. They'll never do any. Chronic and Nolly, like, coming in here, showing up, really playing absolutely top tier Rocket League. It's been a real joy to watch. I think he's probably the one I pick as my one for this year as well, because I got to meet him in person at the Winterland. I like to watch his content. He has a secondary channel where he like breaks things down of different skill levels and things to do, things not to do, essentially like replay reviews and such, giving his thoughts, his ideas, like reasons for why, you know, the things a good coach would do, you know, miss you combo. And it's been a real pleasure to sort of see this player sort of take the whole thing by storm, right? He's doing the coaching thing. He's doing the pro scene thing. He's getting involved in podcasts, right? He's helping, you know, be a part of a well-oiled new machine, who's Envy anymore, because they got melded into Optic. So it's like Optic Envy now, the previous machine. But like, it's I don't know. It's crazy, man. That's my guy. That's my guy to go to. Very low tilt mentality, very positive gamer, always looking to improve himself and striving to play at the best that he possibly can. Like that's my guy for the year.
I like it. I like it. I'd like to interject that I think Turbo Pulso was the player of the year. Actually, I didn't say this in the moments, remember, but I suppose a moment is the moment where none of the original Dig roster was playing in a tournament. That was definitely a moment of the year. The tides have changed, and you know, Rocket League has once again proven that's probably one of the toughest esports to have longevity in. For better or worse, but it is in and of itself. I mean, yeah, it's an interesting kind of look back. It's also like a representation. Like our podcast started pretty much around the moment of that big like Cloud9 versus Dig, right, tournament. back in the day. It was after the This Is Rocket League moment. It was like, I think the tournament after, but it's interesting how like it's very serendipitous, I guess. For me, my player of the year, I'm looking at a couple of these players. I mean, apparently Jack is a great show for me. I don't know about you guys, but like, I know we talked about like FaZe being this like a team that did quite well this year, but like, I had like a feeling like this would be First Killer's year because we talked about him so much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And I kind of wish they were more dominant so I could really justify that. But
Fourth Killer.
Yeah, First Killer. It's so tough now because all these teams, like all three players, kind of show up, so it makes it a little harder. You know what? Get back to me, okay? Wabs or Messi? Okay. You guys, either of you have something? I'm gonna keep thinking. I do. Okay, go Messi.
Go for it.
Now, mine's also between two. And before, how you guys rioting already? Stop rioting. But mine is between Extra and Joya.
Really? That's a good one. Okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
Man, because Extra, of course, going from absolute poo-poo water in season 9 on Monaco to dominating season X, dominating the past season and winning it, of course. And then Joya, who came from a freestyler background. I used to watch his freestyle videos with Pulsefire, shout out. But it was just nice seeing him like actually like be able to transition his skills so effectively from high level for like freestyling to, you know, boom, hit competitive play. And he's the only person remaining on the original roster now. Yep. It's so sad to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing both of them, how they've just been on the come up, doing what they do. But if I had to choose one, it's got to be Extra. It just has to. Homie's been the rock for that BDS team. Has been the least talked about. But on that grand final, man, he looked like the best player on that pitch. Let me tell you, he was dominating in that grand final.
It was.
He was making G2 look like NRG.
He was making G2 look like G-poo, bro. He was. He really was.
Homie was making G2 look like Turbo Pulse and not even qualifying for a regional. Like,
ooh.
Oh,
shots.
That's just... Sad. It's sad, but also really, really, really nice to see. Just, I don't know.
No, I like it.
Took a picture with him at Winter Major. Maybe you should use that world's money to get a hair program started. But
whoa! Wow! But
so he great, great player.
So much shade.
So a great player, nonetheless, and he's my player of the year.
Nice. Okay. And with that,
what?
Yeah, I'm cutting you off all right now. Wabs, what's your player there?
So I wanted to say another thing of the year, the overall story, just because you reminded me, Messi, very quickly, the whole thing of freestylers and ones players just dominating the scene to, like, you know, just dominating the scene. Everybody was trying to pick them up. Like, that, I think, might be the most broad storyline for the entire year. Because that was just the basis of almost every single team move, where it was just, we need somebody that's mechanically skilled and can do things alone, and you have so many teams that are... they're doing what Vitality wanted way back in the day.
The meta has just allowed that to become a thing now, because you have to have more than just one mechanical player on your team.
Exactly.
You have to have two, if not have your whole team.
If not all three.
Not all three.
So I wanted to say that for an overall storyline, but for player, other than Appjack, from all the things that you've said, Cursor, and in addition, just like the amount that Appjack plays is just incredible. I think he grinds one of the most, and he actively is like improving to such a degree that it doesn't really even make sense, because he's already one of the best players. And if you hear other people talk about him, he's still getting so much better. And that just, like, it boggles the mind. But other than him, I want to say the calm storyline. Because just being the absolute hated player,
I was gonna say
really
calm.
Like,
I was honestly going to
go
say
for
calm,
it. Go for it.
No, you know the story better, though. But so you go. You explain it. I just thought of Calm because I feel like Calm has made himself a player that for some reason we can't forget about.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Did it do something?
Who? Hold up. There was a video that was recently put out.
Yeah, was it Sunless Khan that made this video?
I think it was.
Okay.
I think it was Sunless. And honestly, I would probably just say all of the things that Sunless said because that was just the perfect video. Because he just became the most hated player only on demos. And then he just lived it up. And in person, he was, you know, playing the crowd to... He was just playing the crowd. He was just really good.
I don't want to say he stole the gimmick, all right? But if you're hated for demos,
it's Rettles.
There's someone else that comes to mind, all right?
It wasn't even Rettles, actually. It was oh my god, Homeboy, who's on James Cheese now.
Virtuoso?
Even yeah, before Virtuoso, that, Virtuoso, he did it first. The OG.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's the passing of the torch. It's been passed continuously from Virtuoso to Rettles to now Calm. And, you know, standing on the tables, shouting at the crowd. It's fine. It's fine. Yelling at each other. It's great.
Yep. Virtuoso, you did that on the pitch. Homie was a menace. He was a menace. That team was like, the way that team was architected was, it was a maniacal man's dream.
Yeah.
It was just definitely ahead of its time. I'll say it like that.
Yeah. It was just like, all right, boys, 2v3, I demo everybody. Let's go. Uh-huh.
Can't play if you're dead, lol. What prize?
We're gonna prevent you from playing the game. That's the way they do it.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Let's get to rookie of the year. If you don't have anyone, that's okay. But I am just curious. Like, what are just I'm gonna shout out the whole group here. What are some like players that you feel really you hadn't heard of before this year, and this year they're on the stage. They're really showing up. I'm gonna go first. And I'm going to say pretty much the entire roster of KCP, right?
Okay.
This was...
Huh?
Who? Pioneers? Pioneers, okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yep.
Because I... Like, we talked to Prof as well about this, but, like, this felt... You know, they had their first big LAN, right? And they're just, like, the rookies that, like, everyone was like, oh, they're all, like, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, right? But... To use an overused expression, I guess. What I really liked is it very much felt like it's like, no, this is a roster that's going to stay together, and you better watch out because they are on the up and up. So to me, all of those players could definitely be thrown into the pot here. Does anyone have any other kind of big breakout stars, rookie players they want to mention?
I do. I have one.
Go for it.
Nupa. The man who got banned and can't play till next season. Mm-hmm.
All right, explain, Messi.
But he was just didn't get enough attention because of how dominant Falcons was. But he took a bottom feeding Sam team to grand finals in their own region and took series off of Falcons. Like, no other team was doing that. And to be able to do that coming in fresh, like, man. Like, that is not normal. That is beyond the wildest shames of anybody at that time. But he came in. He did that. He was him.
There you
go. He was Himothy Timothy. That split.
No, it's good. I mean, it's great to... it just feels like this year especially, the birth of new talent is just everywhere, right? Like, there's some players who are, like, hitting the peak, and then there's some players that are, like, we haven't seen at all before, and now they're very much going more and more center stage. So, yeah, I'm sure, like, by the end of this year, we'll be like, wow, look at what, like, the rookies that we mentioned this year, look where they're at now. Any other players? Last chance here. If any other rookies to shout out.
I've... Two, if you don't mind. Yeah, they're on different teams, but they've both done a pretty fair job of showing up in what would be kind of like sort of their inaugural season, that being Chronic from Gen G, who's kind of always been there. He's, for those of you that do follow the one scene, he's been around for a hot minute, but he's never really made it into RLCS until now, and you can see why he kept playing those few years and finally made it in. Dude is goated, and his rookie season, he wins the LAN. Like, that's dope. And then I kind of side with Messi's earlier shout out. Just Joyo, man. Like Joyo looking so just one of those players who's super, super mechy, but learning how to transition it into a pro scene 3v3 format is it looks to be one of the most difficult things, and there's only so many players who are doing it, but they're the talk of the town right now for that reason, right? I think you could even squeeze in an honorable mention, even though he's not in the pro scene. It's really a matter of time, is Dark, somebody who literally just freestyles on pros and ones and flies up the leaderboard. It's unreal. Like, some of these super mechanical players are taking the world by storm right now, and they're all rookies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Mabs, you have someone else to add?
I'm not sure if this is right, but he's 16. So was Vatira overall a rookie? Would we consider that? Because Queso was in there for the last little bit of last year. But the rise really happened with the later evolutions, I guess, of Queso into Moist. And once that happened, Vatira kind of just became a household Rocket League esports connoisseur name. And I think that if you're talking about rookies and talking about like the young players who are some of the best, I would definitely put Vatira up there. I don't know when he joined RLCS, though. I think it was the end of last year.
I believe so. I think you're right here.
I think
he could actually give. I think he could give top right Tommy a run for his money, defensively speaking.
Yeah, that's fair.
Top right Tommy being Torment. not everyone gets that reference. So.
yes, Torment, my favorite player. Honestly, my best player, best team of the year, V1, Torment, easy jobs.
Easy.
I once saw Torment on a Batmobile spin a lot, and from then on, he was the best player of all time. I just want everyone
to know. You know what? Torment is my my real best rookie.
There you go.
What?
Well, listen,
that's the rookie I'm choosing.
I want to do... No, if there's a senior division in the Rocket League scene... He's the best veteran player. He's the veteran off the bench, you know. He's the cowboy that's one last hurrah. That's I love everything about V1. All right, things to look forward to in 2023 for Rocket League. I did kind of make most of the show about the kind of like review of some things happening. I would say like esports wise, Gen G is the team I'm watching out for. They won the last fall major, right? So I imagine they'll be a big part of it. We can probably, on this topic, actually jump right into the roster mania that wasn't, because that was interesting. I know Ty Swiggles was giving us hints and suggestions. I you know, there was so much information going that I kind of got lost. I don't know if any of you were able to make something out of it.
I can.
Yes, Messi. This is your time to shine, because take us down through the whirlwind of transfer rumors that happened.
So we're gonna travel to OCE for our first one, and the Pioneers have dropped Banana Head from their roster. So that is really, really sad to hear.
And for the team that's gonna stay together.
I mean, okay. Nah, whatever. I'll keep going. I don't defend myself. It's fine, all right? I said what I said, and I'm going to die on my head.
Elephant faithful, 100%.
They were all Pioneers. Individual. They weren't team of the year, okay? They were rookies of the year, all right? So all individually, all right? Did very well in 2022.
Yeah, but Pioneers have dropped Banana Head as it stands, if I recall correctly. Pretty sure. But the results just haven't been great. They just don't have that clutch factor even in their own region anymore. Power is definitely coming into their own once again.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And they're looking like the best team in SC. So Pioneers potentially looking for a change, maybe pick up someone from Ground Zero, or you know, just pick up Cabo from Gremlins. But I know CJ would love that. But yeah, it's unfortunate. And we go to South America. There's been a lot of things, and some confirmed today as well. Lost.
Did your rosters locked not too long ago, though?
Rosters locked like yesterday.
Okay.
Yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah, so all this news is confirmed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good, good. Yes. All right, we don't play good. With spec. No, anyway, yeah, continue.
So, the club in Astromic and Bems are basically doing, I believe, a one-for-one trade with Furia at this point, where they are getting Kayo, and in return, they're giving Lost.
Oh, it was a swap? Interesting.
It was essentially a swap, yeah.
It's a one-for-one.
Yeah.
Basically, arguably the best player in SAM right now in Lost, let's be real. Lost at Worlds was nice with it. The only team they lost to was Furia themselves in the Game 7. So. He's been on the up and up, and Furia just fell flat on their face when they came to North America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're getting less points than NRG, something's wrong, right?
NRG is that bottom limit for Messi.
Yeah, yeah. NRG are they're the gatekeepers right now.
They're the gatekeepers.
They're sitting in sixth right now.
They're NRG and above.
NRG USC fighter that's like fought twice for the belt and lost, so they can no longer actually fight for the belt. But they take down every like rookie team that just isn't cutting it. You know, is that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, yeah, it's literally what they do now.
If I may, then to make a poor movie reference, who's the key master? Like what team is the key master right now if they're the gatekeepers? Anyone at all?
Yeah, no, I got it.
No, like I'm asking.
I'm
like,
trying to think.
No. Wabs is like, I get the reference. Everyone else is like, what team would be so, NRG?
The reason I don't want to answer is because of the story. It gets kind of weird.
Okay.
Being like, who does NRG want to be kind of? I don't know. It's weird. It gets weird. It's really weird.
I think you took it a little too literally, Wabs. Is awesome.
Not at all.
Yeah. Or figuratively. No.
Not at all. Literally never. Never take it too seriously. We take it as seriously as it should be. Who is NRG's fiance? Who are they together with?
G2. I feel like it's a G2. Match made in heaven. There.
There we go. And okay.
G2. Actually, no. They're both. G2. They're both fulfilling the same.
So NRG's Rick Moranis and G2 is friggin' Sigourney Weaver. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep. That's we awesome. Have it done.
I love it. It's so good. Well, they'll just keep flip flopping every split. 5-6, 5-6, 5-6.
That's great.
So what we're trying to say, okay, and we'll see yours after this. But what we're trying to say is that if you're an up and coming team, okay, and you want to know, you know, if you got it, okay, when you come up in a tournament against NRG or G2 and you beat them, that's when you know you belong.
That's when you got it.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mezzo.
It's very nice to be the NRG though. They didn't do anything. But anyway. So we're going to talk about the player who has gone from adored to an absolute menace because he ruined absolutely everybody. Ryze, what are you doing, man? Come on now, Don.
The start of all the drama that never started.
Yeah, so, and the player that got hurt the most out of this and was left without a team, if I'm pretty sure, for the split was Oli.
Yeah.
Really?
Oli got screwed over big time.
Yep.
Big time.
Want to go through the whole process?
Let's explain.
Let's go through the whole shenanigans. Yeah. So, Ryze wanted to join V1. V1 were going to drop Calm. Optic was going to drop Magic Bear for Calm. And then Ryze was like, you know what? Nah. So then, version 1 are like, wait, do we drop Calm or not? And then Optic are like, wait, do we keep Magic or not? And then because they were both in tandem, version 1 kept Calm. And then... Optic and what other team was it? Optic and Dignitas were like, mine, Magic. Yeah. I want Magic. Me.
Yep.
And, but Optic kept Magic and Dignitas picked up Evo as a and dropped Delta. So that is who their new third is. Evo is just, I don't know, man.
I was wondering who was getting Evo.
Such an interesting situation with Evo because he's so good. But I feel like he just needs more time.
He just needs a lot more time.
Yeah.
So can
I mean he was stuck on a contract that he couldn't get out of with Exit.
Mm. That's true. Mm-hmm. That is true.
Yeah.
Is Oli like not able? So like literally can't sign at all.
It was like so late. Maybe someone picked him up. I think someone did.
Because if I was like, you know, any like slightly worse team, I'd probably pick up Ollie. But yeah.
Let me go to Twitter.
Twitter. Twitter. Twitter is now esports. It's that's all that's left.
Twitter is esports hub.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see if Ollie posted anything.
I know Ollie was looking for a team. He did put it on Twitter.
I haven't posted anything since December.
So. Oh, okay.
I don't know.
We'll see.
But okay. As it looks right now, when I see on Wikipedia, please someone correct me. He is without a team, and that is. Like you win a regional, you make a major, and you get dropped with like 5 hours left in like the transfer window. Like, that's just that's messed up. Ryze, come on, man.
So why
I don't like you.
Why wasn't it guaranteed that Ollie would be on a team though? Because essentially,
because like Europe, like every roster in Europe was basically solidified in the top, so nothing was gonna change. But because Ryze potentially wanted to move to North America,
then Ollie would have it. Yeah. Okay.
Then Ryze was like, "Oh, never mind. Let me join Oxygen." So it was like, just oh, and Squishy was potentially gonna get dropped, but that didn't go through. So
just that energy was also related to the
Ryze screen.
What'd you say?
Energy is staying together.
The Squishy thing was also related to the Ryze, right?
Wow.
The initial Ryze move. Am I wrong about that?
To my knowledge, no.
Ryze is a catalyst that the dominoes followed.
So basically, Ryze just teased the domino effect, but by teasing it, he has now ruined the morale of version 1 and Optic.
He's playing long game. He's going to win the world championships by playing against
him. He's going to go against him in the major, and they're just going to be so mad with him that they're going to start ball chasing and they're going to lose.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Oxygen next world champ coming through.
On your left.
But yeah, that is most of what happened. And then, Rule 1 dropped Natter. They have dropped Natter.
Yes.
As their third. Mm-hmm. That did happen.
Do they have a third or no?
Oh, they do. I do not know how to pronounce his name. Sure. M7SN. That is who their new third is. He was at Worlds playing under O1 Esports, who were the third seed going into the Worlds for Mina. And they didn't do great.
I'd also like to mention, just for maybe some of our older listeners who have been following some of the esports stuff, though Mike Boy and Toxic are on a team, and Fruity is their coach. And it's called Suh. Yep. So there you go.
Yeah. And then you have Metsunara, Speed, and Yukio on a team.
Ooh.
I just saw that today.
Really?
I'm so happy to see that. Yeah. That's like an Olgard team that has something to prove.
You guys remember Speed? Man, he was the GOAT.
He was the rookie of the year. He was the rookie of the year of his time. Like he was that new guy that like everyone's like, "Who is this kid?"
Yeah, I don't know if you guys kept like watch of everything, but I remember. I think Sunless did a video with Speed and Lethemir. It's like how intoxicated does a Rocket League player have to get until champs can beat them.
Seriously.
It was just Speed and Lethemir drinking and drinking and drinking.
Completely legal, by the way.
Yep.
Man.
Both drinking age.
Yes.
In their respective places.
Yes, correct.
Amazing. So. Yeah, so this was the first like roster mania that didn't feel as
not much happened, crazy. But a lot happened.
Well, yeah. But like there's been roster. Maybe teams are just like more happy with how their teams have performed, you know, this past year. Like there's more like a lot of teams that all have a possibility of beating other teams in the top, like where they didn't feel there was a change that could actually benefit them as much. That or people are too scared, right, to like mess with something that's pretty much working, right? I know how Messi was saying like EU is pretty much solidified at the top. I think there's probably a lot of teams that are like, well, if we're a top 5-6 team, like we don't want to become a top 12 team now, right?
I forgot to say something.
Yeah, go for it.
The gap that Ryze left on Moist was replaced by Juicy, former player of Heat.
Okay,
so there you go.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Do we know anything about Juicy?
He played at Gamers 8 for
him. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any thoughts on him? Do you remember him at all?
He's Juicy and Moist is Moist. So that's
the only reason they chose him.
That's all we need. Good enough for me.
Yeah. The new chant's gonna be Ryze, Astral, and Juicy. The great chant, great chant. I'm sure a lot of people will love that. But do you see, he was on the come up. If I, man, let me check the results at Gamers 8. Let's see how they did. They at Gamers 8. Yeah, they lost to Falcons in 6. They were top 8. So that's, oh, solid.
That's not bad at all.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
They did really, really good, especially in that huge bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Took out teams like Team Secret, Rogue, Endpoint, and they lost to Falcons. Yeah.
Surprised me. What team did he come from?
He was just like a bubble player before that.
Oh, wasn't actually.
Because he was teaming with Parka and Raziers. Raziers being a well renowned once player. And I don't know who Parka is, to be honest. I'm gonna be real with you. I'm gonna need to tie Zoogle's aid on this one. But yeah. That's basically the rundown on who Juicy is.
Alright, cool. That's actually something to be a little bit like hopeful with. Might be something cool that comes from it.
So good international result
mm-hmm.
for like a first time international event for him.
Yeah.
There's hope. There's hope. And his name aligns with like the team he's on, so you'd hope good results.
Yeah.
So. For sure. And I think the best thing that I've seen about this is that Juicy versus who was it? Is it for Tier or someone else? I think it was Juicy versus someone else. Like it's gonna be like an anime like fight. Cause they just I don't know. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's just him and the player just gonna go at it.
All right,
we'll find out.
We need someone to animate people as they're like sitting in front of their computers playing Rocket League. That's what I need. I need like the animated version of their hair.
Anime Rocket League.
Yeah. you won't. Content creator out there. So with that, I think it might be a good time maybe to our final topic of the day, which is bots in Rocket League. There's been swell of not just Smurfs, all right. Maybe this is what is it Pawn?
Pawn's always
has always yeah. Maybe it's not Smurfs that have actually been haunting him. Maybe Pawn's been onto the robots before all of us, all right.
Don't give him that credit. Don't do it.
But essentially, AIs. There's been AIs that have been kind of like,
The Necto and Nexto bots.
Yeah, Sunless Khan has like, essentially made a video on it like a couple days ago from this recording. But that's becoming a serious problem. And I don't know if there's a way. You know, I don't know if any of you have heard of like ways they could actually Psionics could actually combat this. I mean, I'm sure there is, but
For now, the stance on it is they told the guys at over at like RL Gym, the people who developed mm-hmm. the bots,
mm-hmm.
to stop making bots for now while they continue the process, because getting a bot in the game is like as hard as making the bot itself. Like,
it's a separate thing.
It's a really, really hard.
Why?
It's like a really, really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
So the fact that people are doing it,
especially successfully,
is scary. Yeah.
There's actually, if I may chime mm-hmm. in too, if you're looking for just a teensy bit more insight into some of the technicality of it, he doesn't go into all of it because he's not trying to popularize it or tell you how or even what the name of the program is. Lawler does a really good segment on this too. He did live a few weeks ago, and I think he posted a video of it. It's something that's actually been in the works for a few years now, which is kind of crazy. He did some deep diving, and it looks as though there was somebody talking about it on Reddit a while back, and now it's like come to fruition. Like somebody has found a way, and now not only are there bots in it and people using them in their ranked games, which shame on you. I'm crossing my fingers at you, like knife on knife, like a chef thing. Like just play the game, forehead. Like. There is a market for it, and people are selling the bot to players who are looking to fake it till they make it for titles and such that they didn't earn, which is kind of sad. Like it's like the whole point of getting it. I don't know. Maybe all of us can speak to it since we kind of hit that point. Is like when you got your first title, you were like, heck yeah, I finally did the thing. And then, like, even more so, Messi getting the SSL title is like, heck yeah, I finally did the thing. I am God. But it's like, you didn't use a bot to get there. You know what I mean? Like, nobody cares if you're rocking a title, but you suck. Like,
hey, maybe I'm a Terminator, bro. You don't know.
You could be. You could have gone back in time with years of knowledge. You could have actually been playing Rocket League for like the last 50 years. We don't know about it, and you came back.
You never know.
It could be. Just absolutely goated. But yeah, it's just, it leaves a bad flavor in my mouth, right? It's like, you would kind of hoped this would be the one game it would never happen to. Like, it was always in the back of your mind. You hear about it in shooters. You hear about it in whole just multitude of other games where there's some kind of competitive scene. And you're like, this game being so unique with understanding how the touches work, how the bounces work, how the arena works, boost management, pathing, momentum transfer, right? Like all the car control, ball control, dribbling, like all these things. Like it's such a very unique skill set to have. It's like most, like the people who get up there earn it. Like they put in the hours more often than not. And now it's sad to think that it's like, I don't know, in a long roundabout way, I guess I'm trying to come to terms with every single one of us in this episode right now has had, oh, how much was your title if you have a bad game? It's happened. It's totally happened. But now it's going to be, on the flip side of it, people are going to be like, well, you know, I only lost because that guy's a bot. And it's like, no, no, this is not the direction you want to go with this. Like, you don't want to keep passing blame as to why you can't play this game or why you're not, you know, reasonably obtaining your goals and just jumping on the bandwagon being like, yes, there is this problem. It must be affecting me in my silver games. Like, dude, like at some point, just take responsibility for the fact that you're just not that great yet, but you could be if you put in the effort and the time. And unfortunately, the people who just absolutely refuse to do so are going out and spending money and getting this bot and just completely thrashing the rank system. It's not good.
Just learn how to aerial. All right,
bro, all I'm saying is this is a perfect time. Psyonix, let's go back, because I'm a 2016 player. Let's go back. Hard reset every season. Let's bring that back. All right. It'll be harder for the bots to make their way up through the ranks if they're constantly being reset to zero. That's a good start. That's just my thought. I don't know if anyone else has a take.
I'm trying to think if that would work, because then the bots are going to play easier people in the beginning. Or
the same thing.
Yeah, I guess. Well, someone's running a bot, then they really don't care how long it takes for that bot to win those games, right? Like, we can be playing, and they're just literally a computer on, you know, run program, and just keep it running, right? So,
and also the bots are like at GC SSL levels, so they're just gonna run through the people who are like silvers and hard reset back to to 500 OMR, and
which is even better. So now the pro queue times are faster because they're playing against bots.
You know what? I do like that. This could be the solution.
See what I'm saying?
To queue time problems for pros, and they get better.
See what I'm saying? Put the bots up there. The pro players who are the experts of the game will be able to spot it in an instant. Oh, that guy's a bot. Yeah, ban him. Boom.
Oh, no, no. I'm not saying ban him. I'm saying keep him. Pros are going to have to wait to play games.
Yeah. Now they can play SSL bots.
They can play SSL
like,
bots
to
get better. Good enough. Yeah, yeah. We've solved queue time problems, actually.
Yep.
We gotta get Psyonix on this, all right? Put the bots into the games.
Full big brain move here.
SSL MMR, don't find the game in like a minute or two. SSL, those bots go in.
Mm-hmm. We're helping and hurting you, Messi. I'm not apologizing for this at all.
Messi, I'm sure you could beat them. You're good. You should be good enough.
That's what all the pros have been saying. It's like, they can't aerial. How are you losing?
I think some of them can, but yes, no, they can't. Wow. Not to the level that they need to for SSL.
Interesting.
No.
It's like, once I figured out the trick to Nexto, like, he couldn't score.
Yep.
He couldn't score.
If you can just hit double taps or air dribbles or get like one touch,
like,
and
just let
extra,
him hit it at
it's free.
You, take it up the wall. Huh? Air dribble, free.
Done. Every time you get in the goal, if you can do it every time, yes.
So basically, it's like playing against me, is what you're saying.
Yep.
Even though I am pretty goated in net, I mean, your aerial control is on a whole other another level, dude. You're from like a different universe. Like, you don't belong here.
Yeah, this is why the Nextos are as good as GCs. They're not as good as SSLs right now. Oops. Unless the one that Appjack faced is real.
Well, it wasn't just Appjack, right? So a couple weeks ago, I think Messi saw this one too. Garrett G posted, not like a twit longer, it might as well have been. Mm-hmm. He opened the discussion because he started a thread on a tweet where it's like he had like a 45 second clip of finding a bot in the 1900s in ranked in twos. And I was like, that is mind-boggling that somebody's made it that far and nobody's noticed it until now. That is insane.
It just makes you think, can 1800s and 1700s not air? Like, I've seen y'all aerial, bro.
No, twos?
No, they can't.
No. Bro, I've seen y'all aerial. What y'all doing? Like, you see that 100 boost that you never take? He's like, oh, I'll just wait. No, just take the ball, aerial, hit it in. Okay. And you'll probably still lose. All right.
True.
But at least you gave it a shot.
So. That's true. I mean, like, how do you? Let me pose it like this to the cast then, in no particular order. How do you? I feel like we've all kind of been grinding again. And yes, even a bit of Lazero. Lazero's been making his comeback slowly and quietly without the world knowing.
No way.
But like, what is like? How does that affect you going into your games? Is it something that's in the forefront of your mind? Do you care as much? Like, do you like me personally? Like, I don't believe I've run into one yet, or if I have, I'm too bad at the game to recognize it. And I tend to focus more like on myself as I'm playing through now. Like, where are the spots I'm weak at that I can be better at? And it's helping me like stay where I want to stay and improve at a steady rate. Whereas, like, I know for some people, like community member Pawn, who's like, no, I lost because that guy's a smurf, or no, now it's confirmed that guy is actually an SSL bot. That's why I'm not GC right now. You know what I mean? Like, what do you, like, does this affect you in some negative way as you're going into your ranked games now?
Can I take this one?
Please.
I think one, if it didn't affect me before, now that we've mentioned it in other podcasts and talked about it, now it's gonna no. But no, I was thinking about this. I'm like, it's like almost the reverse of toxic players. Like, what is it? You know, if you're stuck in a queue with a toxic player, statistically,
since you're not the
toxic player, there's two. He has two spots on your team and three spots on the other team. Yeah, but if I got an overpowered bot, there's less of a chance of me getting that overpowered bot than it being on the other side. So that was the first thought that I had. The second thought that I had is I think like when you're playing, especially if you're playing 3-on-3, it's probably gonna be a lot harder to tell if necessarily a player's a bot, mostly because the pace of the game is a lot faster, I feel. I mean, if they miss every single aerial, or they can't defend air dribbles, that could be a tip off. But I don't think I'll be looking for it, because I also don't think like someone's gonna be really bored if they're, you know, implementing this many like there's enough bots for it to become a problem specifically in my rank. And most likely, if the bot is actually really good, it's gonna go past my rank quite quickly, right? So it won't. I don't think it'll be a problem for me.
That's fair. I kind of agree with that. It's like, if it starts to actually be a problem and there are bots in like both teams, or even if you're like once every 5 games, you're like, oh, that's clearly a bot. Then that's a very big problem, and Psyonix should have fixed it a long time ago. But right now it's like they exist. People are aware that they exist. Most importantly, Psyonix is aware that they exist.
Yes,
and
thankfully.
I think it should be, I don't think it should be that hard to find the ways to look for a bot on their side. I'm sure that there will be certain mistakes. My worry is that this would be similar to that demo bot that came out not too long ago, if we remember that one with Johnny Boy, the demo bot. And if the reason that I bring that up is that if they can turn it on and off, and be like, oh, well, I have a dribble and it looks like I caught the dribble, so now I'm going to turn on the bot and it's going to get a perfect flick and it's going to go top perfectly under bar, blah, blah, blah. Something like that, and like people being smart with the bot, is something that I would be a lot more worried about.
That's kind of what's happening now, not to cut you off. That's why I mentioned the Lawler thing. He goes into it. It's not much, but there is video evidence of people who are like, oh, look, I just got this Rocket League bot, and they posted it on TikTok of them physically using the bot in a game and how simple the interface is and what they can do and when they can do it. Mm. It's kind of to that point already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That was what I was worried about with the Johnny Boy thing, because that was showing that it was just like you know, you turn on the demo thing and then it goes and gets the demo, and then you can turn it off when you pick up the controller again. And if it's something like Nexto, or they're using aspects of Nexto, then just taking over control of your play for, you know, 2 seconds and being like, I can't get this save, let's just turn on the bot. That is the thing that's that would be hard to detect, both player side and probably Psionic side. I'm not sure about that. But that's the thing that I would be more worried about. And they would have to, like, Psionic has to figure something out now that it's aware, people are aware of it, that they're aware of it, and I'm sure that they are working on it.
Yeah.
But no, it's not really changing how I'm thinking. just to answer your question.
Fair enough. I think Messi kind of already hit it on the head. He's just too good, so it doesn't affect him.
I care a lot for the longevity of the game, but in terms of my own games, like, I really couldn't care less.
Yeah, you're just too good.
Like, I care about it a lot because I want the game to be healthy and live for a much longer time.
Right.
But if I were to see one in my game, I'd be like, oh, that's cute. what are you doing, dribbling? Are you going to flick it in front of my net and I'm going to pre-jump save it? Oh, that's cute. But anyway.
But then let me pose this then, to sort of be like the question to, because I feel like we could drag the bot thing on forever, because we all come from a very deep gaming background. Like, do you feel that, this is a big hypothetical, but I'm going to open the floor. Like, do you feel this problem spreads to the UE5 drop when it happens? Is this something that, now that they're aware of it in the UE3 version, are they anticipating it going forward before the release of the next iteration of Rocket League?
I'm sure they would be.
I'm certainly hoping.
They should probably address it before Switch even happens, because they could lose a large chunk of the player base due to this.
Right.
It's a really, really high chance of that happening. So
yeah,
they really need retention, especially since they've been holding out on us. Not even for like an announcement. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are patiently waiting, and if you want to retain people, having bots in your games like that is a big, big problem. So yeah,
it's not a good look for sure.
Yeah, they definitely gotta fix it.
I feel like new engine affords, you know, a little more real time control, updates, changes, reworks, whatever. Like, oh, this made it in. Let's fix that. Let's change a 1 to a 0 real quick. You know what I mean? So,
because I love to use Fortnite as my favorite example for this. Because they get updates weekly. Like, they get weekly updates. Mm-hmm. Weekly. We get updates whenever Psionic has time.
Essentially. Well, I mean, we always get the Tuesday one, too, now. Like, it wasn't so common back then, but now we get it. Where it's like, you can expect it Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern via Steam. Rocket League's going to have some kind of small hot fix or something getting snuck in on the back end before the next major patch. Like, it's been kind of consistent for the last year or so.
But You know what I mean, in terms of, like, new content.
Yeah.
Like, removing and adding. Like, Fortnite has done such an amazing job of that throughout the years that their player base is just as big. Like, it's definitely, like, gotten a little smaller, but it's still so huge.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's, like, 4 or 5 years now, isn't it? We're talking, like...
It's been more than 5 years since the game released.
No. No.
So, it released late 2017.
That's what I was going to say, right? And at the time... it wasn't the PvP aspect. It was the
no battle royale, at least in 2017.
Yeah, it was like that September, right? Yeah. And the game came out earlier that summer, where it was just like the 4-person fight the zombies.
PvE tower defense. I missed
that.
Was fun.
Webs knows what I'm talking. Like, that was fun, man. That was so fun.
And like, we got our first teaser for Save the World back in 2012, 2011. So,
What? What?
Yeah, there was a teaser for Save the World in, like, early 2010s.
Seriously?
Yes.
I did not even know that. That's
some
long-term
booking.
That's...
Okay.
So the game was building hype from before, but unlike Cyberpunk, they actually did not fall flat in their face.
But that's crazy.
I think we're going to round out the show here. Unless you guys really want to... I mean, we could probably talk bots full up. We could probably dedicate a full episode to bots.
That's what
and
I mean, like,
machine learning.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna round it out here. I have to start by thanking all of you who have joined me I know it's been a couple weeks. So
the Patreon.
Okay, so Messi, this is the thing I do where I do a spiel and then I go to the Patreon, okay.
Like he was building a Segway webs.
Yeah, I was building.
Oh, he was.
Was it Wabs or Messi? I can't really tell.
It wasn't me.
It was Wabs.
It was Wabs.
I want to thank our patrons. By the way, we're going to be looking. Patreon now is introducing free trials. So I definitely want to put out a free trial for at least the Robin and Kyle show tier. A longer one, so people could go listen to that. If they like those, then they can consider it and all that. Special thanks to Zodiac 22, Too Much Space, Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Awesomeness, Caleb, Raz, Digital Toast, Paint, Rook, your boy Auntie, and Young Slug. Y'all are awesome. Thank you so much for your continued support. Just big things. One last final announcement here. We have a 4th year anniversary stream that'll be happening on Saturday the 21st. So that is about a week and a half, 2 weeks from now. Week and a half, I guess. What I'm trying to do on this one is I'm actually inviting my main co-host on the Age of Empires podcast and my main co-host on the Pokemon podcast, and the worlds will collide we'll see how it goes. It probably is going to end up being a Q&A. I don't know how much drinking there'll be at 2 p.m. on a Saturday. And if it runs super long, maybe I'll start throwing in guests halfway through. We'll see about that. That's kind of the plan. So I have that linked as well. Thank you once again, everyone. Your homework, should you choose to accept it, because it's your choice. We don't force homework upon you. Do something active every day, okay? Do something active every day. Now, those who listen to the pre-show, this is not at all inspired by anything to do with Romance Corner. And I digress. And with that, we'll see y'all. I guess the anniversary show is the next one coming up. So we'll see you then. Peace.
Bye.
Later.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.